And we start our final hour here on this Wednesday, just after 2 o'clock, with Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football talking, well, some high school football. And Greg, we do appreciate your time as always. I want to start off with a story that our own David Smoke has been all over. I know Matt Stepp has been covering this as well, but seems like there's some more drama in Mount Vernon over the eligibility or lack thereof of a couple of players and an assistant coach issues there potentially as well. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but now it's creeping up once again. Can you explain for the audience out there sort of what's going on right now with Mount Vernon and what direction do you think that this takes ultimately?
Sure. So, of course, Mount Vernon, coached by former Baylor coach Art Briles, they're off to a great start. They're 5-0 right now. They have a huge game this week on the road at state-ranked Jefferson, probably their biggest test of the year so far. A couple of weeks ago, you'll remember we were talking about on this program that there were some eligibility concerns for a couple of kids who moved in from various parts of the state and the world. There was a defensive tackle that moved in, I believe, from Dallas. There's a couple of other kids who moved in from out of state. Back in week three, they had a district executive committee meeting, and the district executive committee ruled that those kids were eligible. And they said, no, you know, they did not move for athletic purposes. We're good to go. Nothing to see here. So Mount Vernon keeps rolling on. Well, apparently what happens is that more evidence has been presented out there in Mount Vernon. So they call another district executive committee meeting, and the district executive committee this time rules that two players who moved in from Colorado are in fact ineligible, basically, you know, shouldn't be going to school there for one reason or another. There is a connection to an assistant coach there, and that is one thing that I'm particularly interested in, is that the coach, I believe it's former Baylor receiver Lynx Hawthorne, is out there in Mount Vernon, and from what I understand, he is not on the Mount MVISD payroll. And to be a coach of a UIL team, you have to be a full-time employee of the district. And so that is another. I believe Mount Vernon got a reprimand for that. But there is some sort of connection between him and these two players who moved in from Colorado. There's a residency issue of some kind out there. And so those two players have been ruled ineligible. From what I understand, it is their quarterback and one of their star receivers who've been ruled ineligible. Obviously, for anybody who knows an Art Briles offense, those are pretty key components of that. Now, we fully expect them to appeal. They've said that they will appeal to the state executive committee. But I'll also throw this out there, which is that the state executive committee is not in the business of overturning unanimous district executive committee decisions. And that's what this was. This was a unanimous DEC decision to rule them ineligible. And we saw this exact same thing happen, or not exact same thing, but a similar thing happen earlier in the year. If you remember Damon Demas is, depending on who you ask, either the best or second best prospect in the state of Texas this year. He transfers from Houston North Forest to Tomball. The district executive committee rules unanimously that he is ineligible. They appeal to the state executive committee, and the state executive committee upholds the ruling. So that is one hurdle now for Mount Vernon. Obviously, they will be ineligible for this week. The state executive committee usually meets on Tuesdays, so they will probably meet next Tuesday. But obviously, a developing situation out there in Mount Vernon, and it's a sticky one. It's an interesting situation out there with regards to eligibility.
Well, from one situation to another, this one involving a team right here in our own backyard, Liberty, Ilu, and La Vega, they end because of a fight that breaks out in the third quarter. I mean, have you seen a situation like that before? And what are your thoughts when you do see something like that, especially in a high school game?
Yeah, it's been a really weird week, honestly, of off-the-field things between the Mount Vernon thing. Montgomery is going through some situations where they've already forfeited their game ahead of this week's game with Huntsville because of some hazing allegations that are going on down there. Calhoun had to forfeit a game. It's been a crazy week. But, you know, the Liberty-Ilo-La Vega game, I think, is obviously disappointing because of the way that it ended. And unfortunately, this wouldn't be this isn't the first time that this has happened. That that basically there was a, from what we understand, a pretty considerable melee that happened in the game in the third quarter. La Vega was winning pretty comfortably. I believe they're up by 44 points or something along those lines, and a fight broke out, and it was apparently bad enough that the official said, "No, you know what? Forget it. The game's over. Everybody go home." I know that there's still some question as to how exactly this is going to be ruled. There were some reports out there that were not true, that the UIL had come in and said it was a double forfeit. Well, the UIL doesn't really have jurisdiction over that. It's not a district game, and even in district games, they'd let the district decide that before they would get involved. But I know that out there in Liberty ILO, the season has not gone the way that they had hoped. They're 0-6 on the year. They have accepted a forfeit. We're going to see what La Vega has to say eventually. We don't know. Basically, if they want the win, they can have it. You know, right now at Dave Campbell's Texas Football, we count it as a win until they declare it a forfeit themselves. We don't really have anything to go off of, but it's obviously a sad situation, and I'm sure that Don Hyde has had some words for his kids because, we talk so much about how important it is to be disciplined, how important it is to make sure you control your emotions, especially when you want to play at the highest level, like the defending four Division I champs want to. So I'm sure that both coaches, whether it's Clint King over out there at Liberty ILO or whether it's Don Hyde at La Vega, are displeased with the way that finished.
Well, turning to on-the-field issues now, Greg, Robinson, they suffered their first loss of the year to Salado, and they were off to a really great start, 5-0 going into that game. What do you think of the Rockets' prospects now in that very tough district after they took that loss to Salado?
Yeah, it's interesting, and it just makes that district all the more intriguing because, that whole district is a little bit up in the air. It's a little bit wild. The thing for Robinson that I think is going to end up making them a little bit upset is that, the defense just didn't come up with that key stop at the key time, and that's basically, the bottom line. They fell behind early. They fell behind 20-0, and they just had to chase the rest of the way, and you can't do that. You can't do that in a district as tightly packed as this district is. And by the way, that opens things up in a big way in District 8, 4A, Division 2. Fairfield is undefeated. They're feeling pretty good. Wiggle Connolly has risen to number one in our rankings in 4A, Division 2. They've probably got to be considered the favorite there. But that is a game that if they don't, now they're going to have to go out there and they're probably going to have to steal one from somebody. They're going to have to definitely make sure they got to beat a team like Mejia whenever they get their chance. But, for Robinson, it's disappointing because it's the wrong kind of game to lose. Those are the types of teams, Salado, is if you think that Robinson is a bubble team, right? You think that they're either a 3 or a 4 seed or maybe left out in that district, then you got to beat the other teams that think like that. And Salado is one of those teams. So great win for Salado. They got to feel really good about where they are. But for Robinson, they got to dust themselves off and prepare this week for a good Lorena team.
China Springs gone on a little bit of a slide after opening up the season 2-0, and now it's been 4 straight losses, and it's been every kind. They lose by 2 in a 58-56. They lose by 1 in a 14-13 game last week to St. Thomas out of Houston. Now district play in this smaller district, Greg, and Stephenville up first for the Cougars. How do you feel about this matchup, and what is China Spring and Brian Bell looking at with Stephenville?
Well, and you're right. What's interesting is that they are in all of these games, right? Mm-hmm. They're within one score of pretty much every team that they've played. But the bottom line is that they haven't been able to finish. And in a lot of ways, I think that that's the mark of a relatively young team. It's a team that is trying to learn how to finish. And now you're right. They enter into district play. They enter into a district that is not going to be kind to them. Obviously, La Vega lurks. Brownwood has had an outstanding breakout year. Stephenville is. This is. I don't want to characterize the first district game as a must-win game, but I feel like if you're China Spring, you got to go out here and take care of business in this one. Especially when you get them at home, you get an opportunity to get this district home game against a Stephenville team that has some guys that some pieces we really like. Cade Renfro they have an outstanding quarterback in Cade Renfro that I think a lot of people are pretty are kind of going gaga about, but this team is not as explosive as we thought that they were going to be. This is certainly a winnable game for China Spring. It's just going to be a matter of finishing. Going to be a matter of taking care of the football, doing those little things right. Let protect their quarterback, Braden Faulkner, give him enough time against the Stephenville team, because I think this is a really winnable game. And in a lot of ways, if China Spring wants to make the playoffs, This is a game that they feel like they probably got to have. Yes, you can still get in if you drop this game, but the sled, you lose your margin for error in this, especially whenever you go on take on a team like Gatesville down the stretch. This is a game that I think that if you are trying to spring, you feel like you got to hold serve at home.
You mentioned Conley being ranked number one right now in 4A Division II. What has been your overall thoughts on Conley this year, the way that they've climbed up the charts, still undefeated on the year, had some close calls, but, again, still undefeated, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, that's the name of the game, and you're right. There have been some close calls. You know, the game against Salado a couple weeks ago, I think, was a little bit too close for comfort. Even this past week against Lorena, I think, was a little bit closer than they would have preferred. But the thing that impresses me most is that when they, we knew that they were going to have weapons, right? We knew that they were going to have guys that could step up and go the distance every time that they touched the ball. Guys, like JV on Sunday. But what has made me most impressed by Conley this year has been they have an opportunistic defense, and the defense comes up at the big moment with the big play when they need it most. That is a team that bows up whenever they need it, and that's something that is going to prove to be extremely valuable, not only for them for the rest of the district play, but when they get into the playoffs. Is that's the kind of thing that's going to serve them well. And by the way, that they've already beaten Salado, they've already beaten Lorena. Got to feel pretty good about themselves against Madisonville and Bahia. He finished the year against Fairfield and Robinson, but this is a Conley team that's rolling right now. Now, as we already mentioned, that's a district that is very well balanced. There's a lot of teams that can come and get you if you don't play your A game, but so far so good. And the thing that's most impressive to me is that they have taken a punch. They have gone and they've taken a punch and they've gotten right back up and they've come up with those big plays when they need them. The Cadets have been awful impressive, and the beneficiary of Pleasant Grove losing to Carthage. Pleasant Grove drops down to number two, and Waco Conley is there to ascend to the number one spot.
Greg, it seems like with the Killeen ISD schools, when they face off, it's like flipping a coin every week. But what do you think of this Ellison-Shoemaker matchup on Friday?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? And I know I probably sound like a broken record to people who listen to this segment every week, but I really think the Killeen schools have taken a nice step forward this year. I think the entire KISD has as one kind of moved up and closed that gap between the quote-unquote power nexus of that district with Temple, Midway, and Belton. I think that they have moved up, and this Shoemaker-Ellison game is really interesting, specifically because I think it's a great clash in styles. Shoemaker, they want to get out there and run. They want to go out there and make some plays happen, maybe get this game into the 40s, go out there and score. They want to win with their offense, and what a job Toby Foreman has done there with Shoemaker. Just 2-8 a year ago, coming off of an 0-10 season before that. Now they've already got 3 wins on the year, looking for what would be a really, really impressive 4th one. They want to get out there and run with their running back Devin Brown, going now up against an Ellison team that wants to keep this score low for 2 reasons. One is that I think their defense is pretty good. Their defense is big. They play with an edge, which I like. I think that they're really solid up front, especially with Everett Rogers. They're big, kind of stack the middle defensive tackle. He's got the other part of it. Is that offense has been a bit of a struggle for the Eagles this year. This has been a program that has had to win low scoring games. They don't necessarily have that explosive firepower. And so they want to keep this score low. If Shoemaker can get out and run, that is definitely the kind of game that they want to play. If you're Ellison, you want to bog this thing down, shorten this game, get out of there quickly with a 17-10 win or something like that. Right now, I lean towards Shoemaker. I just think the way that offense is rolling right now is going to end up being the difference. And what that would be, that won't clinch them a district playoff spot because there's still work to do, but it will go a long way towards getting one of those important wins that will get you into the playoffs.
You can check out all things Texas high school football over at texasfootball.com. Of course, Dave Campbell's Texas football managing editor, Greg Tepper, here with us on ESPN Central Texas. You can find him on Twitter at Tepper, and here with us on Wednesdays at around 2 o'clock. And, of course, Friday nights on Fox Sports Southwest as well. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for the insight and the talk as always, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Thanks a lot. Greg Tepper.